Saint Paul loved his people. If you spend any amount of time with his letters, you realize that they weren't essays composed to just say things about Jesus to whoever. No, they were personal letters where he was striving to do the very thing he was created to do. He recognized that his role in this world was very simple. It was to say yes to God's invitation to the heavenly banquet and to call others to do the same. He recognized that that's the role of every Christian. It is to be able to recognize God calling you to more than this world, to that heavenly glory for which you were made, to say yes to that, and then in saying yes to that, to say, I'm bringing all my friends with me. I'm bringing my family. I'm going to go out into all the world, and I'm going to call the good and the bad alike, and I'm going to call them to be transformed by Christ and to enter that heavenly banquet. But what really stands out to me, especially this week, about the figure of St. Paul and that personal element of his letters where he's just yearning for the salvation of his people, is that these are letters from a pastor to his congregation, from a father to his children. And it's against that backdrop of this family of faith that Paul had, to where within this family, he yearned for the salvation of his brothers and sisters that he was able to serve as a priest. It's against this backdrop that I reflect on the fact that today, it's exactly a year from the day that I was named pastor of this parish. And it makes me think, how can we do this best? How can I have that spirit of St. Paul that yearns for your salvation? How can you be like those communities that supported Paul, but then also helped him sometimes with a little bit of good criticism? And I realized that if we are a family of the faith, just as the early Christians were, then we need those three magic phrases that every family desperately needs to have said often. The first of these is thank you. Very often we think that thank you goes unsaid. People, they know that I'm grateful. No, they don't. And yet, in a family, it's an absolutely crucial thing to actually put into words. And so I thank you. Before all else, reflecting on this year that I've been able to serve you as pastor, you could have been keeping me at an arm's length. For all that you've been through in the past several years, the turnaround of priests, I wouldn't blame you if you said, we don't want to grow close. Just you do your thing, we'll do ours. But instead, from day one, you've been so incredibly good. You've been patient with me because I'm a rookie and quite often a knucklehead. And so I thank you for that patience. Okay, but thank you is not the only thing. Thank yous, that one of those immensely important phrases that should be said very often in every home. But what's the other one? I'm sorry. That's the one that's even tougher so often to say, to admit fault, to ask pardon. And yet, that's something reflecting on this year that I would like to do as well. Because the fact is, there have been days where I've been impatient, where I've been short, or maybe I've gotten distracted midway through talking to someone and completely left them hanging. I don't do these things on purpose, but as I said earlier, I'm kind of a knucklehead sometimes. There have been messages that have been left unanswered. Calls back 3 weeks after the initial message was left. It doesn't happen often, but the fact that it's ever happened is something I'm a little ashamed of. There have no doubt been things that I've said that you've thought, oh, well, that was a little rude, Father. Why would you say that? Well, I assure you that that's never been my intent. So there's thank you, there's I'm sorry, and the list of I'm sorrys could go on, but we have a 5-minute limit, so can't do that. But then there's also the third phrase that should be heard in every home very often, that too often we leave unsaid because we think they know. They don't know. Say it out loud. I love you. And I really do. And it's wild how quickly that happened. to where coming here, it was like not even a day passed. I was like, oh no, I'm starting to really love these people. And I really do. And I pray for you. And I ask for your prayers. But now, if we are to be like those early Christians, if we are to be this heroic community that can transform the world, if each of us can respond to God's invitation to heavenly glory and then be his instruments in extending that invitation to others, then we need this to be a place of honesty as well. A place where I'm willing to call you out. And I am. They gave me this microphone and I stand up here and I do it. But where you're willing to call me out too. I would love for this to be a place where we yearn for each other's salvation, understanding that it's not automatic. We can freely reject God's invitation to heaven and miss out on it for all eternity. So we pray for each other, but then we also call each other to greatness. One of the saddest things that I remember hearing growing up would be people saying, oh yeah, I left the church because this priest said this or he did this. Or, oh, I hate going to church because Father does this thing or that thing. And almost every time that I ask, did you ever talk to him about it? They say, no, I could never. Well, then how's he supposed to know? You need to work for my salvation, letting me know when I'm falling short of it. And I have a sacred duty to do the same for you. Because all of us throughout this life, every single moment is a yes or a no to God's invitation to heavenly glory. Every single action draws us closer to it or further away from it. And that's why we need each other's support in that journey. So that you can work for my salvation and I can work for yours. And that in this family that is Sacred Heart, we can frequently actually say those words, thank you, I'm sorry, and I love you. Knowing that this is a family whose job it is to get each other to heaven.